About 3 weeks ago, Brother Tim asked me to bring a message on the mark of the beast and the coming economic crisis, and so I worked at it pretty steadily here for about 2 weeks and got it pretty well together, I think. So if you'll stand with me, we'll honor God as we read His Word, and we're going to be reading out of Revelation 13, starting at verse 1. The dragon stood on the shore of the sea, and I saw a beast coming out of the sea. It had 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 crowns on its horns, and each head had a blasphemous name. The beast I saw resembled a leopard, but had feet like those of a bear, and a mouth like that of a lion. The dragon gave the beast his power and his throne and his great authority. One of the heads of the beast seemed to have a fatal wound, but the fatal wound had been healed. The whole world was filled with wonder and followed the beast. People worshiped the dragon because he had given authority to the beast, and they also worshiped the beast and asked, "Who is like the beast? Who can wage war against it?" The beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies, and to exercise its authority for 42 months. It opened its mouth to blaspheme God and to slander His name and His dwelling place and those who live in heaven. It was given power to wage war against God's holy people and to conquer them. It was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. All the inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the Lamb who was slain from the creation of the world. Whoever has ears, let them hear. If anyone is to go into captivity they will go. If anyone is to be killed with the sword they will be killed. This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of God's people. Then I saw a second beast coming out of the earth. It had 2 horns like a lamb, but it spoke like a dragon. It exercised all the authority of the first beast on its behalf, and it made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast whose fatal wound had been healed. And it performed great signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to the earth in full view of the people. Because of the signs it was given power to perform on behalf of the first beast, it deceived the inhabitants of the earth. It ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. The second beast was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast, so the image could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. It also forced all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hands or on their forehead, so that they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the person who has insight calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. The number is 666. Heavenly Father, we've opened your word. You tell us not to add to your word and not to subtract to this from word, lest we receive all that's in it. So, Father, help us to preach this faithfully today. Help it to glorify you. May you be honored today, Lord, above all that is, and we'll give you the praise in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. These are amazing times in which you and I live today. Of all the times in history to be alive, this may be one of the most exciting ever. I'm going to start our service a little strange today. I'm going to ask you to do something a little strange. If you're 75 or older, would you raise your hand? Okay, there are 4 or 5 of us that are that age. I want to go over a few things that have happened just in our lifetime. 75 years. You think of how this earth, for generation after generation after generation, People farmed, people worked, but nothing really happened. But these last 75 years have been amazing what's going on. I just want to hit a couple things. In your lifetime, we've had the atom split. For the first time in the history of mankind, we can destroy our Earth about 8 times over just with the atomic power that's already there. That's never happened in the history of mankind before. In our lifetime, we've seen the first half of the prophecy on the restoration of the old Roman Empire. We've seen the European Economic Union come together, and that's where the nation of Rome ruled the world. And the second half of that is going to happen a little later, when there's going to be 10 nations come out of those nations of Europe that are going to again be the second Roman Empire under the beast. We've seen in our lifetime space exploration with men landing on the moon. My grandpa, who's a little older than I was, said, and I was just a little boy when that happened, when they landed on the moon, my grandpa said, "Son, that's not happening. Man will never get to the moon." Well, now we've sent spaceships out to Mars and out to Jupiter and beyond now. It's amazing what's going on. In our lifetime, we've seen the divorce rate go from 1 in 8 to 1 in 2. Stop and think of what that means to families. We wonder why we got trouble. Well, that's part of the reason. In our lifetime, we've seen the crime rate increase 500%. And that's not just because we got more people. That's 500% above people that are born. In our lifetime, we've seen the tiny nation of Israel restored again, a two-part prophecy. They have been restored physically to the nation. If you doubt the Bible is the word of God, this is one of the greatest proofs. The Bible said that Israel would be restored, although he was going to send them all around the world. Do you know, for 2,000 years, they were spread all over this world? They're the only nation in the history of mankind ever to be spread all over the world, coming back as one nation. That's one of the greatest proofs of the scriptures. In our lifetime, we've seen the world linked with instant communication. Years ago, if a man in Israel had written a letter to another man in Europe, sent it off, it would have taken weeks to get to Europe. And if that man had wanted to send it to the United States, it would have taken months to get here. Folks, now, somebody in Israel can call somebody in Europe, and that somebody in Europe can call somebody in America, and all three can be instantly talking together at exactly the same time. It's an amazing thing we've seen. In our lifetime, we've seen computers. I don't know if you know how much computers are going to change your life drastically just in the next couple years. They are going to do away with literally thousands and thousands of jobs because it's going to be robotics. It's amazing what's happening. We have a tremendous explosion of knowledge in our lifetime. And the Bible talked about that very clearly in the book of Daniel, chapter 12, verse 4. "But you, Daniel, roll up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Men will go here and there and increase knowledge." At the time that Daniel wrote that, about the fastest way to get from here to there was on a horse. I don't know the top speed of a horse, but 5, 10 miles an hour, maybe 20, I don't know. But that's not very fast. But now, believe it or not, we've got cars. You can't buy one right now. You wouldn't be able to afford it. But there are cars right now that can go 600 miles an hour. We have planes that can fly today at 2,000 miles an hour, and we have spaceships that can travel 24,000 miles an hour. Little joke was told, a man called the airport. He asked the lady at the airport station how long it would take him to fly from Dallas to Atlanta. And she said, "Just a minute." He said, "Thank you." You know, we think it's so fast now, we can literally go just in minutes here to there. But it used to be that it took so long to get from here to there. The wagon trains that used to go from the East Coast over towards the West Coast used to take literally months to get across our country. Now you can do it in one day, easily, 4 or 5 hours. So we're told something about knowledge, it now is doubling every 10 years. And some say it's doubling every 5 years. I don't really know. Not smart enough to keep up with it anymore. There's so many things that I used to laugh about my grandma first, that she didn't care about what was going on. And then my mother second, she got to the age where she didn't care. And guess what? I'm getting pretty close because it's not going to affect me a whole lot longer. But as we go through the book of Revelations, this is not intended primarily for us to set dates, to name names, to know exactly who the Antichrist is. Had some friends at Trinity where I used to go years ago. Two brothers got saved, and they spent literally two nights, all night long, trying to figure out who the Antichrist was by adding up the numbers of their names. Folks, it can't be done. You can guess all kinds of people. So Revelations is actually a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the churches around AD 75. They were going through a time of great persecution and great trouble. Folks, whether you know it or not, we're approaching that time again. The church is going to go through great persecution. We haven't seen a lot of it yet here. But if you go around the world, today's people are literally dying for their faith. The message of the word of Revelations is things are getting darker. And yes, they are. But that's not where it stops. Opposition to Christ and his church is going to grow. But that's not where it stops. Our God is in control. Satan is strong. There's no doubt Satan is stronger than any of us. But we have a God who's stronger than him. And in the end, God's people are going to win. So the book of Revelations uses apocalyptic literature. It uses imagery a lot. When we talk about the dragon, when we talk about the beast and the false prophet, and we mention their heads and their horns and all that, that's imagery. And you wonder, why doesn't God just tell us like it is? Because he knows how we learn best. When we talk to little children, we have an important principle we want to tell them. Do we just tell them the principle? Or do we take them to a story and use imagery in the story because they won't forget it that way? What the Lord wants us to understand is he's using imagery here so the message sticks with us. Extremely important. So the imagery you're going to hear today from the book of Revelation chapter 13 is meant to stick with you. So number one, who is our enemy here in Revelation 13? It says in Revelation 13:1, the dragon stood on the shore of the sea, and I saw a beast coming out of the sea. It had 10 horns and 7 heads with 10 crowns on its horns, and on each head a blasphemous name. So we've got somebody right at the start identified as the dragon. We have to go back one chapter in Revelations to identify who this is standing on the shore. In Revelation 12, verse 7, it says, then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. So who is this dragon? He's the ancient serpent. Remember in the Garden of Eden, as Eve was talked in by the serpent to eating the apple? That was Satan in the body of a serpent. The dragon is Satan himself. He stands on the shore of the sea, and he calls someone forth. In Revelation 13:1 again, the dragon stood on the shore of the sea, and I saw a beast coming out of the sea. It had 10 horns and 7 heads with 10 crowns on its horns, and on each head a blasphemous name. The beast I saw resembled a leopard, but had feet like those of a bear and a mouth like that of a lion. The dragon gave the beast his power and his throne and great authority. Folks, the dragon gives this beast, this one that comes out of the sea, all of his authority. Now, we've had men rule on this earth before, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more in a few minutes. There were Antichrist types, and they had great power. Millions of people have died because of Antichrist rulers through the history of our world. This last one, each one of those earlier ones had some power given to them. In fact, quite a bit of power. But this last one is going to have all the authority and all the power of Satan. Folks, that should shake us to our knees. This is very important what's going on here. The obvious question is, who does this beast represent? Because Daniel talked about it, and Daniel brought up the same three images of the leopard and the bear and the lion. If you look at Daniel chapter 7, verse 1, it says, in the first years of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream, and visions passed through his mind as he was laying in his bed. He wrote down the substance of his dream. Daniel said, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me were four winds of heaven churning up the great sea. Four great beasts, each different from the other, came out of the sea. Remember where the dragon calls the beast out of the sea? Same thing. The first was like a lion, and it had the wings of an eagle. I watched until its wings were torn off and was lifted from the ground so that it stood on 2 feet like a human being. And the mind of a human was given to it. And there before me was a second beast, which looked like a bear. It was raised up on one of its sides, and it had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. I was told, get up and eat your fill of flesh. After that, I looked, and there before me was another beast, one that looked like a leopard. And on its back, it had 4 wings like those of a bird. This beast had 4 heads, and it was given authority to rule. After that, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was a 4th beast, terrifying and frightening and very powerful. It had large iron teeth. It crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all the former beasts, and it had 10 horns. Just like the one in Revelation that the dragon's calling out of the sea. What the Antichrist here represents is all the nations of men, all the rebellion against God, all the kingdoms of the earth wrapped up in one leader who's going to have this world revolt against the leadership and the authority of the God of heaven. He's going to have great power. He's going to be extremely strong in what he is allowed to do because he has all the authority of Satan. And we don't even know how much authority that is. We know that God's over him, but he does have great authority. So the beast out of the sea, most scholars believe to be the Antichrist that's going to rule and reign on this earth 3.5 years. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, it talks about it. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers and sisters, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by the teaching allegedly from us, whether by a prophecy or by word of mouth or by letter, asserting the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs. And the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Folks, many people today don't believe that a civilized people would ever accept a man as God. But in the Second World War, Emperor Hirohito was considered God. by the Japanese people, a very intelligent people, don't think it can happen again. Many of these world leaders try to have their people worship them. In 2 John verse 7, I say this because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone into the world. Any such person is a deceiver and the Antichrist. So many of the readers of the Apostle John's letter here in Revelations would have known and they would have identified the Caesars as Antichrist because the Caesars demanded worship. One of the things that the Roman government went against the early church for was because they were not religious people, because they would only worship one God. They wouldn't worship the Caesar. Folks, Antichrist have been around for years, and they have already done terrible, terrible things in this world. I just want you to think of just a couple. Genghis Khan was a terrible for his people. Mao Zedong, literally millions of people died in China when Mao took over. He just wiped people out. Stalin, we all think about Hitler, what a terrible leader he was. But Stalin in Russia killed more people than Hitler did. All these men were Antichrist. And so when we look at this, we want to know, how is the Antichrist going to work? If we call to decide the strategy of Satan, one of the things we would say is that the Antichrist is going to put tremendous people on pressure on people to conform to his way. Folks, I hope you understand we're seeing that in our nation today. There is tremendous pressure for you to think exactly like your leaders are thinking. If you have a child in school today, public school, and you go to protest what's being taught your children, your own children in your public school, whether you know it or not, you're going on the FBI's list as a terrorist. You cannot speak against what they want to do. So we're seeing the outskirts of this in our own nation. In Revelations 13:3, it says, one of the heads of the beast seemed to have a fatal wound, but the fatal wound had been healed. The whole world was filled with wonder and followed the beast. When the whole world follows this man, what do you suppose kind of pressure that's going to put on the rest of the people that don't want to follow him? Folks, it's going to be unbelievable pressure. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but every year since 2005, on New Year's Eve, if you watch it on television, there's one song that keeps getting played over and over and over. And it's not just in America. This is being played over and over and over all around the world. Watch it next January 1st. See if you don't see it. The song was written by John Lennon. And it says, imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. In other words, no focus on anything in the future. Imagine how wonderful it would be if there's no heaven, there's no hell. We're all just living for today. We have no focus on the future at all. Second verse says, imagine there are no countries. Folks, whether you realize it or not, you're losing our country. Our border is open. This is an amazing thing. That's what the world wants. No countries. Imagine there's no country. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for. And no religion, too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But do you know that in all the countries in the history of our world that have said there is no religion allowed, millions of people have died? Just imagine how wonderful it would be if men were in charge instead of God. Folks, it would not be wonderful at all. It would be the worst thing you can imagine, and that's what the tribulation period is going to be. We are going to have no countries. We are going to have one ruler over the entire world, and it is not going to be, ooh, this is wonderful. this is going to be the worst time, the Bible says, that has ever happened on this earth. And so we want to look at what Satan does. It says in Revelation 13:4, people worshiped the dragon because he had given authority to the beast. And they also worshiped the beast and asked, who is like the beast? Who can wage war against it? Now, most of you already know there are people today that are worshiping Satan. It's called Satanism or Satan worship. But in that time, in the tribulation period, almost everybody on this earth is going to worship Satan. It's been Satan's desire from the very beginning. That's why he was cast out of heaven, because he wanted everybody to worship him. He's going to get his wish in the tribulation time. It goes on to say, the beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise its authority for 42 months, for 3.5 excuse me, 3.5 years, the beast is going to rule and reign on this earth. Some of you don't like what's going on in our government the last 2 years. Hopefully you know you got 2 more years of it at least. A lot can change in 2 years, can it? A lot's going to change in 3.5 years. It opened its mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. It was given power to wage war against God's holy people. That would include the nation of Israel and the church, and to conquer them. And it was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. All the inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the Lamb who was slain from the creation of the world. Whoever has ears, let them hear. If anyone is to go into captivity they will go. If anyone is to be killed with the sword they will be killed. This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of God's people. There are going to be those that are going to go through the tribulation without yielding to this. The vast majority are going to be martyred for their faith. In this time, people will tell you today, I'm just going to hit this real briefly, and then we're going to go into communion service, but people will tell you today, you need to sell off some of your stocks, and you need to get gold, and you need to get silver. You need to buy commodities, because it's the only way you'll be able to buy or sell if the tribulation hits. My friends, the truth of the matter is, when the tribulation hits, gold and silver aren't going to be worth hardly anything. The computers that I just mentioned earlier are going to be used very soon to do away with all the money that you have. All the coins, all the dollar bills, it's all going to be gone. The United States of America today is actively setting up, the European Union has already done it, a central bank where you can send in to find out how much finances you have. And instead of you getting those finances, they automatically wire it to wherever you want it to go, to another bank, and everything is done by computers now. Folks, that's why he's going to have such power. Because you won't be able to buy or sell anything, and we're going to learn tonight, unless you receive the mark of the beast. Today on your credit card, I don't know how many have a Visa card. Very many Visa or... what's the others? I don't know. Anyhow, I got all kinds of cards. But on the one side, it's got your number, but on the back side, it's got what? It's got a little magnetic strip. Do you know how much information's on that strip? It is totally unbelievable how much they know about you, all on that little strip. The way computers are advancing so quickly now, they're going to know everything you do, everywhere you go. You walk in the city of Saginaw today and you see a little green light up on a post. Do you know what that is? They're videoing you. They know where you go. You go to the store, they're videoing you. They know where you are. You talk on your phone. I've got a phone right now, an Apple phone. I can say, hey, Siri, find this out for me or whatever. Do you suppose that phone only hears me when I say, hey, Siri? That phone hears everything you do. You're in your home. You're talking to your wife. The phone's in the next room. It's hearing everything that you're doing. We live in unbelievable times, and this is advancing so rapidly that the beast is going to have absolute control over everything. Today in China, they have almost absolute control over all their people. Everything they do is recorded. It's coming here. We need to be prepared for these things, because if we don't prepare our hearts and our lives, if we don't receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and he comes to the clouds tonight, there's coming a time soon when our Lord Jesus Christ is coming to the clouds. He's going to shout with the voice of the archangel. The trumpet's going to sound. And those that are Christians that have died, that their body is in the grave, the Bible says their body's coming out of that grave, going up to heaven. Those of us that are alive at that time, it could be tonight. There's nothing stopping it. If the Lord were to come to the clouds tonight and shout, we would be gone. Our physical bodies would be left. We would be gone, transformed, and in heaven. And that's when this time is going to start. And when this time starts, in order for you to be saved, almost 99% of the time, you're going to be martyred for your faith. You won't be able to provide for your family. You won't be able to take a stand against anything, because it's going to be absolute dictatorial control. But the good news for the Christian is, we're not going to be there. The Bible says he will spare us from the time of trouble. But the key is to know for sure that you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you have, you're not going to go through this time we're describing. We're going to be in heaven at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to be there at the judgment seat of Christ for that entire 7-year period of the tribulation. The first half of the tribulation is really bad. The second half is even worse, because the second half, the beast is going to take absolute control of everything. Folks, you don't want to be there. And the good news is you don't have to be there. Just imagine in your mind that there is a God, that he does love you, that he loved you enough to die on the cross to pay for your sin. And all he's asking you to do is place your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can avoid all of this trouble. It's going to be, the Bible says, the worst time that mankind has ever lived in. In the first half of the tribulation, I won't take much more time for this, but the first half, at just one day, a third of all the inhabitants of the earth are going to die on exactly the same day. You say, that couldn't happen. Well, my friends, it can happen, and it will happen. The Bible said it's going to happen. Another time, a quarter of the earth is going to die all on the same day. We can't even imagine that. I wouldn't want to imagine that. I wouldn't want to be there. And I praise God, I'm not going to be there. Not because I'm not a sinner, but because I have a Savior who's going to take his bride away. The bride is the church, the believing church. We're going to avoid that terrible time. And it really is this simple. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I believe with all my heart Jesus Christ shed his blood on that cross to pay for my sin. And today, Lord, I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. You won't have to go through this terrible time. Tonight we're going to be looking at the second beast that comes out of the land. The first beast out of the sea is almost positively a Gentile world ruler. The second beast that's going to be called up is Jewish. He's an apostate Jew who's going to force people to worship the beast. And we'll cover that tonight. So right now we're going to go into our communion service.